Fan.
Story is getting curiouser and curiouser. He, of course, best known for his portrayal of the older brother on the TV sitcom Leave It to Beaver. And I'm now looking at a story, and I don't know that this would be considered a great, generally speaking, news source, but I like the way they at least attempt to put it into some kind of context. This is by a website called bestclassicbands.com. Here's what they write. It was reported today that Tony Dow had died this morning. Most news gathering organizations, including Best Classic Bands, shared the news of his death that had been posted on his Facebook page by his management at approximately 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, so 10:30 our time. The announcement by his management was premature and a misunderstanding and has since been removed by Dow's Facebook page. As TV reporter George Panaccio, might be an unfortunate name involved with this particular story, but as he reported at 2:40 p.m. Central, so that's an hour and a half ago, Tony Dow is still alive. I had a conversation with his wife, Lauren. She is understandably distraught and grief-stricken about what's been going on with Tony's health battle these past few months. He's been in hospice care at their home, and based on some health issues overnight, Lauren inferred that Tony had passed away to some people close to her, and the word quickly spread. Lauren admits she's been a little fuzzy these days, quite understandable. She told me she now feels foolish about what has transpired since his death has been reported around the world. She also told me through her pain, it is of my own doing. I told her we know it's been a very stressful time. People understand overwhelming grief. Lauren says she loves and adores her husband of 42 years with all of her heart. While she did say he passed, she now understands the miscommunication and is sorry for causing a commotion in this challenging time. May 5 is when Lauren had revealed that Dow had been diagnosed with cancer. Her post on Dow's Facebook page noted that her husband is approaching this reality so bravely, but it is truly heartbreaking. The brief post did not identify the specific form of cancer. Dow turned 77 on April 13. So then they quote from a management statement that seems to confirm that Dow has passed away, and then it attempts to describe him. Beautiful soul, kind, compassionate, funny, and humble. We will miss you. That's from his management team. Jerry Mathers, who played the Beaver, shared his thoughts when he was informed that his TV brother had died, with a number of comments there, and it goes on and on. So unless you got something even more recent than that, that's what we seem to have at this point, that he is not doing well. He's probably close to passing away, but that there was some misunderstanding on the basis of the language that his wife used in talking to friends that seemed to get the ball rolling. It's a very odd story that is getting curiouser and curiouser indeed by the minute. We had Kevin Seifert for an extended segment to talk about a busy day at TCO Performance Center, a number of press conferences, including with the head coach, who is going to join us tomorrow live, probably sometime right after 4 o'clock, and the general manager, who is, I believe, on with PA today. And there were a couple players. I believe Dalvin Cook spoke today, and Harrison Smith spoke as well. And it was interesting part of, I think, with Adolfo Mensah trying to sort of backpedal a little bit or explain what was kind of juicy and intriguing to us yesterday from that USA Today story is not surprising. He's a guy who's been in some other organizations, but he hasn't been front and center where he's the guy. And my guess is that when he says he really wasn't talking about Kirk when he made that the comment about how far you go to burn the whole thing down, et cetera, and that, you know, we don't really have We know we don't have Tom Brady. We don't have, who's the Chiefs quarterback?
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. That he meant it, and you could say, again, he's just stating the obvious, but it comes off a little bit as, well, is he kind of sort of hinting without really wanting to, some question in his own mind whether the path the Vikings have taken at the quarterback position is going to be advised, that in the end it's going to work out the way that they're, is it more that they're hoping it's going to work out or that they believe it's going to work out? I will say this. I should have asked Seifert this, and maybe we will ask him or ask Ben Gessling, who's going to join us tomorrow from the Perch. I don't know how often in the Rick Spielman era we ever had to analyze, well, did he really mean that direct comment that he said? Because the number of times that Rick Spielman was even close to being what might be classified as direct, I don't even know if I need one hand to count them. I might need one finger to count them, to be honest with you. Maybe one for the thumb, because it was so rare. I guess to a certain extent it was so rare that if it would stand out if he had a sudden moment of clarity and candor, but he never did. Everything, you know, I'm in the group that has some concern about the management speak of the day that we hear from the folks in charge of this team. My eyes will glaze over. They already have several times. But there was sort of a different problem with Spielman, in that you literally just, it literally was not worth having him on, because he just didn't have, he just wasn't going to give you anything to chew on. And I don't mean by that he was obligated to give away all the secrets. I just meant stuff to chew on, to analyze, to think about. He just wouldn't do it. So to that extent, this is already different, in that no matter how long Spielman was here, we didn't have that kind of moment where we're saying, now, Rick, like we're doing with Kwesi, now, what exactly did you mean by that, the comments you made about Cousins? Because it made it seem like you might be a bit queasy. Now, he, you know, did damage control, said that wasn't the case. I'm good. He said pretty much everything you thought he would, but we've rarely, if ever, needed that kind of clarification from Spielman, because he wouldn't even tip a toe, or I should say dip a toe in the shallow end of the pool, let alone the deep end of the pool. So that in itself, maybe that's a measure of progress. It's certainly a contrast in what we've seen before. Let's put a grand in somebody's hand, shall we?
Let's do it. The Fan at Hilltop Camp and RV are trying to put a grand in your hand at the National Cash Contest. You head to KFAN.com. Enter the keyword check. That is check for your shot at $1,000. KFAN.com, keyword check.
The Borton Volvo scorecard includes an in-studio visit with Pat Kessler at 5:15. In addition, we're going to try at the bottom of this hour to cold call Glenn Mason. I don't know if we're going to get through to him, because he made it sound like he's in some mysterious place where cell phone, you know, coverage is
awful convenient,
is sketchy.
Huh?
And he does travel a lot now. He's Footloose fancy free, but he said, you can give me a try. So we're going to try him in about 15 minutes. And if we're lucky, we'll get him and we'll talk about some Big Ten stuff that broke today. And who knows?
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
And the Fan.
Get out so we can make our cold call to Mace. I don't want to overpromise because he made it sound like, I'm guessing he's somewhere west. He likes to travel west. He's got a wide open schedule now. I don't blame him. He's taking full advantage of all the free time that he now has. We were talking about I was reading from a letter I received from someone who's worked at First Ave on many different occasions as kind of a session musician. And a number of emails came in as a result of that discussion. Withholding the name as he is asked to do so. He says he would like to be described as a source close to the varsity. And he writes, it is complete. That's where the gig was sent to and where the other Chappelle gigs took place. It is completely unthinkable that varsity staff would even think they had the agency to try and force the venue to cancel a show. If any employee did not want to work a particular show, they would never be forced to. Most employees realize that hosting an artist, in particular a comedian, is not a tacit endorsement of any jokes or opinions exposed by said artist or espoused either. Any show that even could cause such a reaction would likely never have been scheduled in the first place, but we're talking about a hypothetical Nazi rally that would cause employees to respond to that extent. Also, I can confirm that on Friday, protesters did in fact mace concert attendees coming out of the first show. I have not seen that reported in the media. If that is indeed true, it's what we've talked about before. I don't want to paint with too broad a brush because the fact of the matter is there weren't that many people out there. Got plenty of coverage because the story was newsy. The visuals are compelling. And in TV, it's all about the visuals. But it wasn't as if there were, you know, several hundred or several thousand people protesting outside the varsity. We have to remember that. But the fact that there was even one person capable, a person, by the way, who describes himself or herself, I'm sure, as a progressive that decides that, oh, I'll show somebody who actually went to the show that I don't think should even take place. I'm going to mace them. If indeed that report's true, you're not a progressive. That's the sad part about it. That's fascist. That's the sort of thing we associate with a very different sort of ideology that I'm going to take it upon my, I'm going to be presumptuous enough to say that you should be punished by being maced for going to a show in public that is being offered to by a theater or by an entertainment venue, an outlet. So, that's very, like I said, unfortunate. And in the end, for, you know, First Ave, it may well be they made a business decision that they think long term there would have been greater damage in terms of potential business if they'd gone through with that show than the other way. For me, as someone, I don't go to a lot of shows anyway. I'm not a boycotter. I'm not a big believer in flat out boycotts. I think that's kind of simplistic. But I can't unknow about the decision they made. And the decision they made, they have, it's a private entity. They have every right to make it. But it for me, revealed something about them that will forever make me think differently about that particular venue, which I thought was about free expression of ideas and letting the artist work his or her art. Bottom of the hour break. We will try our Glenn Mason cold call. I hope we're lucky enough to get him. If not, we've got some other things up our sleeve. Pat Kessler is scheduled in studio beginning right after, I hope, top 5 at 5. Are you prepared for it? You said you did an early one. A lot could have changed between 10 a.m. and now.
I wrote it before noon to 3, okay. But I have been updating it slowly but surely all over right. The course of the show.
Looks like the mace in your face dream is dying, at least for today. I texted him earlier today and said, this would be a great day to talk Big Ten with you, get caught up. And he texted back that I'm at a place where cell phone effectiveness is spotty at best. He said, you can try me, which we've done several times. But Maybe he's in the mountains somewhere. I know he's, I'm guessing he's out west. He likes to go west. He's got a lot of sources out there. And I'm going to take him at his word that he's not avoiding us, because he never has.
I mean, it rang. It didn't just go straight to voicemail. It rang.
Okay.
So,
well, I texted him too, and I got nothing back. So maybe he's, like I said, maybe he's climbing a mountain right now, enjoying, you know, kind of getting away from the daily buzz and hum of a major metropolitan area, the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. If he happens to text me, I'll let you know, and you could try him again. But it doesn't appear. I mean, we'll get Mace, but it just might not be today. With or without him, I do want to talk about some Big Ten developments, because that's Guardsy is in Indy for all of the press conferences, and you know, I think there's actually 2 days of this stuff. Coaches made available, a couple of players made available, and of course the commissioner is made available. The guy used to be a big shot for the Minnesota Vikings, Kevin Warren. And Warren eventually, apparently it took him 15 minutes to get to the big UCLA-USC additions. They, of course, will be joining the conference in 2024. And he kept he definitely left the door open to more expansion. Regarding expansion, I get asked every single day what's next. It may include future expansion. We will not expand just to expand. It will be strategic. It will add additional value to our conference. We are in a perpetual state of evaluating what's next for college athletics. He also confirmed that the conference is finalizing a new media rights deal that will go into effect next year. And he says we can expect an announcement on that sooner rather than later. He would not confirm some of the projections, because the projections have been that the Big Ten might well be in position to pay out about $100 million annually in revenue to each and every one of its schools. 100 million smackers a year. That's a lot of money. He also notes that USC and UCLA, they get in full from the beginning. And I guess I'd forgotten this. When Nebraska, Rutgers, and Maryland came in, as it pertains to revenue sharing, they didn't get full shares from the start. They got partial shares. I don't know what those percentages were, but part of this deal, we ain't doing it that way. USC and UCLA, you're with us, then you're going to get the exact same percentage that the University of Minnesota, University of Michigan, Ohio State, etc., do as well. Now, if I'm doing the math right, we will, before further expansion, we're at 16 teams, right? That will be at 16 teams at that point. Pat Fitzgerald seemed to get into it. He says, or said today, the Northwestern coach, you're going to wake up watching Big Ten football and go to bed watching Big Ten football. He's talking about, obviously, we're in every time zone. What else could you want? Well, I guess technically we're not in the mountain time zone, but you get my point. We go from East Coast to West Coast. Where was the other quote that caught my eye? Oh, I don't know if this is true. I guess it might be logical. The commissioner saying that Los Angeles had the largest section of Big Ten alumni outside the Midwest. I guess that probably makes some sense. I don't know what the other possibilities would be. Scott Frost, who apparently is still the head coach at Nebraska, as far as I can tell. I thought it was a very smart move for our league to get out in front of any changes that might be happening around the country. PJ Fleck on the expansion. LA, are you kidding me? That's perfect. Fitzgerald, we recruit worldwide. We have a huge alumni base in Southern California. The commissioner did acknowledge road trips, a lot more complicated. that all that stuff we hear about student athletes, and we want to make sure they're given every opportunity to get to class, et cetera, et cetera. There'll be several time zones that will be skipped if you are a Big Ten, if you're competing on behalf of a Big Ten school. Warren saying, we have built a Big Ten kind of readiness committee that we'll activate here to start working with USC and UCLA to get ideas as far as what we can do. And what we'll do is we'll work through these next 2 years from a scheduling component to make sure that we create the environment, I almost can't even read it, that's most healthy and holistic for our student athletes, which is one of the reasons I started the Student Athlete Advisory Committee, to be able to listen to them to say what's important. Come on, man. What would be most healthy and holistic is to not expand to the West Coast, which we all understand why they're doing it. It was the natural counter move to the SEC, but let's not, just don't even pretend we're going to make it healthy and we're going to make it holistic. We're happy for you. Warren reminisced about the days when his family would shop from a Sears Roebuck & Company catalog, about the company's long history in and around Chicago. The third-year commissioner received plenty of criticism of the Big Ten's handling of the 2020 pandemic season, said he would not let the conference become an outdated business like Sears. Where expansion goes, I don't know. It's important for all of us in business to recognize that we're in a time of change. I'm embracing change. I'm going to be very aggressive. This is I'm reading from the Associated Press story, Dateline, Indianapolis, Indiana. I believe, and I don't want to step too much on your top five of five touchdown call. I don't know if you're going to include this or not. PJ, did you have some PJ stuff you were saving for that?
I mean, I had the Big Ten stuff, not necessarily the...
I already stepped on your touchdown call.
Yeah.
Well, then I might as well go all the way with it. PJ called this team probably the most committed team he's ever had, for whatever that's worth. His
that
point
is such
being,
a PJ term.
It is. Well, the point he's trying to make is he said his best players are among the team leaders, and to that extent, when their best players are committed to the bit and all the dirty work that needs to be done, then obviously it's easier to... Then the other players don't really have much of a choice. Do we still open against Jerry Kill, don't we? I think we do.
I don't think that's
changed. And that's what I would have asked him. If you have the opportunity to run up the score against Jerry Kill, will you? Because we will have that chance. By all accounts, they're almost starting over. We are, I don't know if we're a great team or not. We're considered sort of middle of the pack in the West. I think in the poll, the preseason media poll, I believe the Badgers.
That is correct. Yeah.
Were first. You're used to that, of course. And who was Iowa second, and then the Gophers?
Probably. Yeah, it's always one of those.
I think the Gophers were in the middle of the... We were ahead of all the other West teams, whatever that's worth.
Yeah, they do open with Jerry Kill, and knowing PJ, he might give him an oar after the game, regardless of the score.
I can't wait for that one. I can't wait. I'm already, though, I'm anticipating disappointment, because I don't think Kill, despite some of the things he has said and the degree to which he obviously despises PJ, that he's going to go full frontal on it, because he's got a team that could get killed. So my guess is he's going to have to go a little humbler. Now, maybe I'm misreading. Now, with Jerry Kill, he surprises you sometimes where he just goes, bleep it, I don't care. But my guess is he's going to try to downplay a lot of that stuff now and say, that's ancient history. It's got nothing to do. I got a really strong, great positive memories at the University of Minnesota, the whole bit. Kill has been his own worst enemy, I think, and some of the stuff that he has said, really a lot of his exit, I think, ended up being more unseemly than it needed to be, given the fact that he did a very nice job, largely, while he was here. But I mean, again, from a media standpoint, I want it to be that whole week where the two coaches are sniping at each other. But my guess is, PJ tends to not snipe, at least not publicly. I don't think he's tended to like stay away from all that stuff. Might this be the exception? I don't know.
I want to work that Saturdays with Sauce. If New Mexico State does end up running the score up on the Gophers, I want to be the first person there that Saturday at noon, man. because that would be can't miss appointment radio.
Is that a nighttime? It's a night game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Is at 8 o'clock.
But is that
still,
the third? Is point. It a Thursday night?
It's September 1st, so that is a
double check the calendar there.
Yes, it is a Thursday night.
Thursday night game. Yeah, so that's still during the Great Minnesota Get Together. So I'll be preempted either by a Gopher game or a Vikings preseason game, one or the other, at the State Fair. I always like those days. Mm. Although then I get stuck in traffic. But nevertheless, that'll be one of the
short days. And it's really bumper to bumper with Dan Burr.
State Fair is right around the corner. And I meant to ask, well, Chad Abbott wasn't here today. And, you know, Donaldson's lame duck guy. How many days he got left? Like two? Is the rest of this week?
It's the rest of this week. I think Friday's his last day.
And I mean, he's been asking. I don't know that we got in a bumper-to-bumper t-shirt. This might be a bad year for the bumper-to-bumper t-shirt because we don't seem to have a lot of really built-in good ideas. If you have some for us, because a lot of times we get some of our best inspiration from our audience, email me. Email the Bradshaw and Brian inbox for the bumper-to-bumper t-shirt you'd like to see. For all I know, the decision's already made without me knowing. That could often be. Happens where I'm not even in the loop, even though it's my show, and I'm barely even acknowledged that this is what we're going with. Mm. So it's possible that ship is, that train has already left the station. I don't know.
What do you think about a Cousins Condos shirt?
That's too positive. That would be a cake show shirt.
Wow. Do they have cake show?
He doesn't do the show often enough to have a shirt, I don't think.
He's it's got like too many every, jobs.
Every, that's true. Yeah. Like every sixth week. Booth at KFAN.com if you have ideas. Booth at KFAN.com. No, I didn't even get a text from Mace. So he's either playing hard to get or he's hard to get right now. And he did, in fairness, say, well, I'm kind of in a tough spot. So, but we're getting closer to the season. We already had several requests on when we're going to have Mace back. We'll get him if he and Abbott can come to agreement, because those negotiations tend to be very dicey and very challenging. But eventually, almost every year, they've gotten done. And I'm hoping that will be the case again this year as well. Kessler in the 5 o'clock hour. We got a good list of things to get to. I've got a couple of shoe questions for Kessler. And we'll find out if he's going to bring any oversized vegetables as he did a week ago, which got some attention. Top five at five, though, is coming up. What do we have?
We'll talk some Twins and then a very football heavy top five at five after that.
By the way, has your team started practicing yet?
They have. Their training camp's open for them as well.
I hope your top five will include the online buzz over the Aaron Rodgers look that he came into camp with. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, right? I know exactly. Put the bunny in the box, I believe.
That's it. Yeah. Exactly. I have no... Don't feel like you can't include that because then it'll be viewed as
sometimes I get a text,
doing it.
Though.
This has become national enough that I think it's actually worthy of a little bit of conversation. We'll come.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.